love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We just want to thank you for the privilege you have given us tonight. We just want to thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. Wherever you're joining us this day, just lift up your hands in sweet worship and adoration to the King of Glory, the one who has kept us, the one who has provided, the one who has protected, the one who is more than able, the God of our sufficiency, the Almighty God. We worship you tonight. We worship you tonight. We magnify your name. We glorify your name and we exalt your name. Blessed be your name again and again tonight. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God, for what you are going to do tonight. Come on, lift up your hands and worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. He deserves all the worship, all the adoration, all the praise. Once again, we have the privilege of coming into your presence tonight. Thank you for your word that is living and alive. Send to us our word tonight. We give you praise, for in Jesus' matchless name we worship. Amen. We want to bless the Lord. We want to thank him for this great privilege he has given us to come into your world today. We'd like to appreciate all those who are joining us online for this wonderful experience in his presence. This is the At Your Dream Christian Center, the place where dreams are nurtured, where dreams are conceived, nurtured, and fulfilled. This is the home of manifestation of dreams. And I want to thank you for joining us for this experience this evening. I have been speaking on the subject of how to prosper in a time of crisis. There's no doubt about the fact that that is the situation that the world is in right now. But God has not left his people without a word of hope and a word of comfort. And by the special grace of God tonight, I intend to continue from where I left off on Sunday. We're going to read our text scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll read from verse 24 down to about 30. Then I'll jump to chapter 7. I'll read verse 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse number 24 says, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all the host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine." Notice that. There was a great famine in Samaria. "And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord does not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee, or what troubleth thee?' And the woman answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give me thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And so we boiled my son and ate him. And I said unto her, On the morrow, that is the next day, give me your son, that we may eat him. And she hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of this woman, that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh." Now, this is a very pathetic situation. Things became so bad in Samaria that they began to eat their children. That was how, that's the kind of crisis they found themselves. It was a precarious situation. Chapter 7 from verse 1 to 2. "Then Elijah said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow," I like this, "tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria." Now that is the word of the Lord. That is a prophetic word that God sent to them in the hour of crisis. And I believe that God is sending away today, God is sending away this evening, a prophetic word that will lift us up, that will encourage us and empower us in this time of crisis. Now, verse 2, then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. This is one of the most trusted aides of the kingdom. Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this then be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Every prophetic promise that God has given, that God has spoken, you shall be a partaker thereof in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, your word is already anointed. I ask today that your word will come with power and precision. Thank you for touching and meeting everyone at the very point of their needs. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, like I said, we are continuing our series on the subject of how to prosper in the time of famine. In the time of crisis. There's no doubt about the fact that we're living in the crisis situation in the world. A time of crisis is a time of testing. It's a time of intense difficulty and danger. It's a critical period. I wanted to know that God has not left us without a word of hope in the midst of all the uncertainty, in the midst of what the COVID-19 pandemic has brought, because it has brought threats, it has brought challenges to the workplace, challenges to economies and several aspects of human life. In the midst of all that is going on, a lot of people have lost hope and confidence. But I want you to know that from time immemorial, God always has strategies in place to prosper his people. I love Psalm 37, verse 19. The Bible says, you will not be ashamed in the evil time. You will be satisfied in the time of famine. That is God's promise concerning you. In fact, if you read Job chapter 5 verse 22, the Bible says, at destruction and famine you will laugh. So I wanted to know that God has a contingency plan for you and I to succeed and prosper in this season. I have shared with us 7 of those secrets that will empower you, that will equip you to prosper in such a time as this, because it is possible to prosper, it is possible to excel, and you will excel out of this season. Listen to me and hear me good tonight. The challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought will not swallow you. You will not only survive this season, you will succeed in this season in the mighty name of Jesus. I said we'll be looking at 12 secrets that will empower you, that can help you to succeed in this season. We have covered 7 so far. Because of the brevity of time tonight, I might not be able to, you know, go over those 7 things that we have shared. My intention today is to share at least 2 more of those secrets. Matthew 16 verse 19, it says, I give you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. These secrets are keys, they are dominion tools and instruments that will put you over. It has been tested. Psalm 12 verse 6 says, God's word has been tested 7 times in an earthen furnace, and it has been found to be faithful. I prophesy to you tonight, God's word will bring hope and healing and take you to another level in the name of Jesus. So how can we succeed? What does it take to excel? How can I prosper in such a time as this? The 8th point that I want to mention tonight, or the 8th key that will help you to prosper in such a time as this, is that you need to be mindful of your faith. You need to be mindful of what? Your faith. Your faith is one of the weapons. Your faith is part of the keys that will put you over in a time of crisis. Yes, your faith. And listen, your faith is so crucial to overcoming in the storms, to prevailing in the challenges of life. When you look at the story we read this night, you will see that the king's trusted aide had no faith in the prophetic word that was given. When Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, so and so shall be sold at the gate of Samaria, he doubted it. He disbelieved the word of the Lord. And listen to me. Hebrews 3 verse 19. The Bible says the reason the people who left the promised land did not make it into the the reason the people who left Egypt rather did not enter the promised land was because of their unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, your faith is crucial. Your faith will put you over in this season. Listen, our faith is not just supposed to be something we use in the emergencies of life. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 38, Galatians 3 verse 11, Romans 1 verse 17, the just shall live by faith. That is the way to live. Most of the time, we have relegated faith to something that we use in emergencies. No, that's the way to live. The Bible says God expects you and I to live by faith. It is your faith. Listen to what I said. Your faith that will put you over. Not somebody else's faith. When I studied the Gospels, I saw many people come to meet Jesus who got their needs being met. You will see that most of those miracles, the emphasis was on the faith of the people, not on the faith of Jesus. For instance, the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5 verse 34, Jesus told the woman, daughter, your faith, notice that, your faith has made you. Mark chapter 10 verse 52, the story of blind Bartimaeus, Jesus told the man, he said, go your way, your faith has made you what? Whole. It's your faith that will pave way for you in this season. It's your faith that will open doors for you this season. I pray for you in the name that is above every name, that may your faith not be weak. May your faith not be weary in the name of Jesus. Faith is relevant. And by the way, you will be asking, what is the significance? What is the connection of faith? Listen, when I say you need to be mindful of your faith, when I say you need to pay attention to your faith in a time of crisis, what do I mean? Listen, your faith here has to do with your faith in what God has said. Don't forget, I told you last Sunday, part of the keys that will enable you to prosper in a time of famine is to be mindful of what God is saying to you. Listen, after you know what God has said, you need to put faith in what he has said. That is faith. When you put confidence in what God has said, that is what we call faith. In fact, that is one definition of faith. To have confidence in what God has said. Now, that was what Elisha did here. Elisha declared the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, at the gates of Samaria, a shekel of barley, fine flour, shall be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Now, that is the word of the Lord. Listen, Elisha believed it. But the king's aide disbelieved it. That was why he was never a partaker of the promise. Listen to this. Do you know what God is saying to you in this hour? Do you know what God has said to you in this hour? Listen. Part of the things that God is saying to us in this hour, part of the things that God has said to us is that it's possible to rise in this season, and you will rise in this season. That is part of the prophetic word. But you see, it's not just enough to know what he has said. You need to have faith. Put your confidence in what God has said. That is faith. When your confidence is in what God has said, you will be sorted out in this season in the name of Jesus. At times, people put confidence in the hand of the flesh. Listen, systems have failed. Systems are failing all over the world. People at times put confidence in the harm of the flesh, in their intellect, in their ability. All those things will not bail you out now. That's why scripture says, Psalm 118, I love that scripture. Psalm 118 verse 8 and 9, it said, it is better to put confidence in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to put confidence in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I want to ask you this question tonight. In whom is your help? David said in Psalm 121 verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? He answered the question, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say you need to be mindful of your faith, one definition of faith is to have confidence. Listen to me and hear me here tonight. Whatever God has said to you, put your faith in that word. It will not fail you. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. Notice, hearing, not hear, not heard. Hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord there is actually the word rhema. What is rhema? Rhema is the spoken word of God. Rhema is the saying of God. Rhema is what God is saying. Listen, put your faith, let your confidence be in what God has said. You know, that was what happened to, Isaac in the time of crisis in his life. Genesis 26. He wanted to relocate. He wanted to go to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt. Genesis 26. God said, stay in this place. I will bless you. Verse 2 and 3. The Bible now says in verse 12, Isaac sold in the land. Which land? The land of famine. The year of famine. And the Bible said the Lord blessed him and he received what? 100-fold. Why? Because he believed in what God has said. I want to encourage somebody listening to me tonight. Let your confidence be in what God has said. At times, many of us will believe in what the experts have said. That is where our faces, that's why we fall rather flat on our faces. Your help will come from Jehovah. You may not know how God is going to do it. You may not know when God is going to do it. But one thing is certain. He will bring you out of this crisis. You will emerge a champion out of this crisis in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say a better amen. In fact, I see you coming out. I see you walking upon your high places. I see you dominating. Your faith will put you over in the name of Jesus. Your faith will make ways for you in the name of Jesus. So we need to have confidence. Your confidence should be in what God has said. You know one thing I discovered this afternoon when I was meditating? I discovered at times that even animals that God has made seem to have more faith and confidence in God than human beings. Look at the story in 1 Kings 17, a time of crisis, a time of famine, during the time of Elijah. Do you know God told Elijah, go to the brook of Cherith, verse 2, I have commanded the ravens. The ravens listened and obeyed God. Listen, God said, if you go there, one thing is sure, your provisions will not be denied day and night. I have spoken. Don't forget, he is the Lord of hosts. He can move things. He can move circumstances in your favor. And I see him moving things and circumstances in your favor in this time of crisis in the name of Jesus. Because if he did it then, it's an indication that he can do it again. It's in the track record of God. God is not a failure. He is consistently faithful. He is totally reliable. And you will not be put to shame. I say you will not be put to shame. Now, on the other hand, when you look at when the brook dried up and God told Elijah, leave this place, go to Zarephath. Now, the instruction was clear. Verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you.
That meant God has spoken to the woman. Now, come and see the unbelief now. When Elijah got there, and Elijah said, hey, get me water. As he was going, he said, wait. Go and make me. He said, man of God, this is the last meal we're about to eat. When we eat it, we're going to die. Now, listen. God said, I have commanded. Even when she saw the prophet, listen, her faith was shaky. Let me say this to you. I know as human beings, we see things, we hear things now that is shaking or might shake your faith. Hear me and hear me tonight. The word of the Lord, the word that he has spoken to you, the word that he has sent to you will put you over in the name of Jesus. Listen, don't give in to your fears. Don't give in to your doubts. Starve your doubts. Starve your fears. Feed your faith. Whatever is telling you, you will not survive this season. I speak to that thing tonight. You will survive this season. I lay the axe to the root of anything that is telling you, you will not see this. You will not survive this season. You will not succeed this season. I lay the axe to it and I cut it off. Listen, you need to have confidence in what God has said. That is faith. Years ago, I saw a quote somewhere about faith. It said, faith means to believe in the dark what God told you in the light. Faith means to believe where? In the dark what God told you in the light. Listen, for us as a commission, he spoke to us this year as the year of a supernatural upgrade. Listen, what is happening now, listen, has not changed a bit of what God has said, because God is consistently faithful. Do you know that it was in the time of crisis that God raised up Joseph? Do you know that it was in the time of crisis that God raised up Daniel? So do not allow the present situation, circumstances, or what is happening to bedevil you or to cause you to lose heart. See after me, I hold fast to what God has said. I'm holding fast to his word of faith. I'm holding fast to the prophetic word. Listen to me tonight. As you hold fast to it, you will not be put to shame. Listen. Let your confidence be in what God has said. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart. That's the problem with the king's aid here in 2 Kings. He did not have faith and confidence with God. That's why he was never a partaker. Now, another thing you need to understand, when I say be mindful of your faith, because that is what is going to bring you over, it also means that you need to make your faith operational. Listen, your faith is not supposed to be passive. Your faith is supposed to be proactive. Your faith is not supposed to be weak. It's supposed to be active. Listen to me. How can my faith, in fact, listen to me. The more you use your faith, the stronger it becomes. The lesser you use your faith, the weaker it becomes. This is not the time to keep your weapon, your shield of faith. This is not the time to hide it. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Ephesians 6 verse 16. Taking the shield of faith. It didn't say take. It didn't say took. It said taken. That means you must have it on. I love what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of what? Of faith. Why did he call it a good fight? Because it's a good fight, because it's a fight that you win. Listen, you will survive this season. You are succeeding in this season. I see you rise above the storm. I see you rise above every contrary wind that this pandemic may have brought in the name of Jesus. Now, if you believe that, say a better amen. Wherever you're listening to me from tonight, listen, there's a lifting in the house for you. There's a lifting in this season for you. And the season, the lifting that God has proposed, the lifting that God has ordained, will not elude you in the name of Jesus. So let your faith be active. How can my faith be active when you put it to work? How can my faith be strong? The Bible says in James chapter 2 verse 26, faith without works is dead. One translation says faith without corresponding action. I love that. Faith without corresponding. So what does that mean? Don't let your actions be contrary to what you claim to believe. Listen, if your actions are contrary to what you claim to believe, it shows that you don't really believe. Listen to this. Faith will walk in your heart with doubt in your head. Listen to me. I want you to know tonight that every move that you make from henceforth, every step that you are taking from henceforth, let it be in line with the prophetic word that he has spoken. What is that word? You will prosper in this season. You are rising in this season. Listen to me. The word of the Lord will not fail. One definition of faith is acting on the revealed word of God. What word has he revealed to you? What word has he spoken to you? You see, the reason Elisha had the kind of confidence and courage that he had here was because God has spoken. And hear me. When God speaks, every other person is a latecomer. I speak into your world this evening. I speak into your world today. Every prophetic word that God has spoken to you, the word he has spoken to you to give you assurance and hope in this season, it will see the light of day in the name of Jesus. Make sure your actions are consistent with what he has said. That is when your faith is operational. That is when your faith is active. You know, at times, faith is one of the very, you know, it's part of the mysteries of the kingdom. Why do I say it's a mystery? Because you see, at times, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, faith has nothing to do with what you are feeling. The man here was looking at the situation. Inflation is so high. Things have gotten so bad. How are you telling me that within 24 hours, things will turn around? Now, that is the limitation of man. But with my God, Luke 1:37, with my God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. I want to challenge you tonight. Don't let your limitation get into the way of God. Don't let your doubt get into the way of God. Listen, God is able to make a way. God is, listen, in fact, beyond your wildest imagination and comprehension, God will surprise you in this season in the name of Jesus. So make sure you pay attention to your faith. Let your faith be operational. Keep your faith busy. Put the switch of faith on. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. Blessed are those who are not expecting anything because they will not be disappointed. I don't know what you're expecting, but I'm expecting your rising. I'm expecting your lifting. I'm expecting your testimony. I'm expecting your breakthrough. I'm expecting your victory. I'm expecting your deliverance. What are you expecting? Listen to these. The Bible says hope is one of the things that can keep your expectation alive. Keep hope alive because you will survive this season. Hear me. I said you will survive this season. If you believe that, say a big amen. Now, why is it important for me to be mindful of my faith in this season? Why is it important for me to make my faith operational? Why is it important for me to believe in the prophetic word? Don't forget Luke chapter 1 verse 45. Scripture says, blessed is he that believed that there shall be a performance. You see, faith, your faith is released when you believe in what God has said. Your head may be giving you problems. Your mind may be calculating. But listen to me, God's ways far outweighs your way. That's why I said in Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. Hear me, child of God, you will survive this season. There's a breaking forth for you. There's a lifting for you. If you believe that, say a big amen. Now, because of my time, I want to give you two reasons why it's important for you to be mindful of your faith. You need to pay attention to you need to keep the switch of faith on. If you are going to break forth, listen to me, your faith is key Jesus said, the just shall live. You're supposed to live.
Many children of God don't know anything about the supernatural dimension of God.
These are the days, these are the seasons whereby you begin to see the supernatural acts of God,
and you will not be left out. Two reasons, very quickly. Number one, why do I need to be mindful of my faith in this season? Because your faith has the ability to put you over.
Listen to me. Faith will lift you above the natural. That's what happened here. If you look at the bad scenario here in Samaria, it was so bad. There is no how there could have been a turnaround within 24 hours. Naturally, humanly speaking, only the supernatural could have made that happen.
Let me say this to you. Hear me and hear me well tonight.
Listen, you are not just limited to the natural. You have access to the supernatural. In fact, that's why people look, the realm of faith is what I call the realm of the sixth sense. Sixth sense. Every human being has five senses. But for the believer, you have an extra sense. The sixth sense is the sense of faith. And faith has the ability to put you over the natural. What happened here is nothing short of a miracle. You may be asking me, are the days of miracle over? No. In fact, you are going to witness far greater miracles. I see financial miracles on your way. I see physical miracles of healing. Listen, miracles of all kinds will happen to you in this season in the name of Jesus. If you believe. That's the way, if you believe. Look at what happened to Elijah here in 1 Kings 17. Have you ever heard of a raven? A raven is not just an ordinary bird. A raven is a scavenger. A raven is one of the birds that under the old covenant, the children of Israel were not supposed to touch. They were unclean. God used an unclean animal to bring clean food to whom? Elijah. And the food was not contaminated. That's a miracle. Listen, there's a miracle that has your name on it. It's going to find you this season in the name of Jesus. That's why you need to believe. I am a believer. Say after me. Say, I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. Say, I am a believer. I am not a doubter. Say, I am expecting God to make me through this season. If you believe that, say a better amen. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let me run because of time. Number two, why do I need to be mindful of my faith? You need to be mindful of your faith because your faith also has the ability to open doors of possibilities. That's why the scripture says in Luke 1:37, with God, all things are possible. Listen to me. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18:27 says that the things that are impossible with men, look at what God did there, is nothing short of a miracle in 2 Kings 7. Are you saying that God can still send the ravens? Yes. Listen to me. There are people, there are places that he has appointed your provision. There are places he has appointed your supply. You will not miss them in the name of Jesus. Expect supernatural provisions. Listen to this. I am a beneficiary and I'm still a beneficiary of God's supernatural provision. Listen to me. God has never known and will never know a recession. There's no recession in God. That's why it says in Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply. This scripture will be a testimony in your life in the name of Jesus. I remember when God inspired us to start this walk. When we're looking for a place to use, and the idea of Pentarise is an event center came up. They wanted to use it's $500,000 to give it out to people. Now, basically speaking, there's no way we could even get that kind of money. But because of believing in God, you see, there is a God who can go ahead of you and touch the heart of kings and cause you to find favor. with God almost 60% discount off. That is to tell you that faith has a way of what? Opening the door of possibilities. I declare over you tonight, Jehovah will make ways for you where there seems to be no way. He will make difficult things easy for you in this season in the name of Jesus. He's turning impossibilities to possibilities for you in the name of Jesus. So if you believe that, say amen. Wherever you're watching me, I want to lift up your hands and say this. Say, I believe God to take care of me in this season. I believe God to meet every one of my needs. I believe God to exceed my expectations. I believe God to make ways for me. Don't forget. Listen, the Bible says, blessed be the Lord your God. Psalm 68 verse 19. Who daily loads you with benefits. Wherever you're watching me from tonight, lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, empower my faith. Say, Holy Spirit, I believe. Help my humbly. Listen to me. Tonight, listen, keep your switch of faith on. Keep your faith active. Keep your faith operational. Your faith is one of the weapons and the keys that will help you to prosper in this season. Because faith always defies the odds. Faith always exceeds the natural. Faith always surpasses human understanding. And I'm saying to you tonight, I know you have natural abilities, thank God for that. But listen, the instrument of faith, as you begin to exercise it, it will begin to make way for you in this season. Listen to this, you are not going down, you are going over. I prophesy to you tonight that your faith will give you victory in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4, I love the scripture. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh what? The world. He says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Your faith. Your faith is your weapon of victory. If you want to triumph in this season, if you want to walk upon your high places, your faith is key. I hear the Lord say unto me tonight, these are the days, these are the seasons of what? Supernatural exploits. These are the days of unusual signs and manifestation for my people who will put my faith, their faith in me will work in the realm of unusual manifestation, the realm of uncommon signs and wonders. If you want to be a participant of that, wherever you're watching, say, Lord, I believe. I pray that God will strengthen your faith. I pray that God will empower your faith. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. I can sense the anointing here tonight in an unusual way. And the anointing knows no limitation. The anointing knows no barrier. Wherever you're listening to me from, receive his touch right now. Receive. Let your faith be provoked. Let your heart be encouraged. Because you are not sinking, you are rising. You are not going down, you are going over in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Because of time tonight, let me go to key number 9. I will just introduce this before we close. We're looking at the secrets that will empower us to prosper in a time of crisis. Because that's the time we're living right now. So what is the 9th key? What's the 9th secret for prospering? That is, you need to be mindful of the resources that you have at your disposal now. Listen to me, child of God. If you are going to survive, if you are going to succeed in a time of famine, you must be a prudent manager of resources. That's what I'm saying. Listen to me. If you're stuck, if you're someone that is given to frivolous living, listen to this, you may not survive this crisis. The way to survive in this crisis is to become a prudent manager. You may be asking this question tonight. What is the relevance? What's the connection between succeeding on prospering in a time of famine or prospering in a time of crisis. What has prudency got to do with it? It has a lot. And I'm going to be showing you in a minute. Do you know that God is against wastage? Do you know that God is against leakages? That's why God wants us to plug all the leakages in our lives. One of the problems of the African nation, or African nations rather, generally, is there's a lot of wastage and leakages. If we can plug the leakages, if we can avoid the wastages, there'll be enough. Proverbs 18 verse 9 says, he that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. That's how God sees somebody who is not prudent. You know, most of the time people complain, I don't have enough. Listen, the problem is that the one that you have, how prudent, how shrewd are you with the management of the resources that he has put in your hands? God said something to me this afternoon when I was coming here. He said, if you cannot save somebody who cannot save in a time of surplus, cannot save in a time of scarcity. Because listen, it's a skill that you must acquire. I have never seen any great soul, any great man or great woman who has, listen to this, broken forth, especially in terms of the realm of economic empowerment or financial empowerment, who was not a prudent manager of resources. I'm going to be showing you in a minute the connection in this story. Because when you look at the lepers here, listen, these four leprous guys, verse 3 of 2 Kings 7, they said, why do we need to sit? Why sit here till we die? They made the move. They took action. And don't forget, I've mentioned it to you, you need to be mindful of the actions you take, because that's part of the key to what? Prosper in a time of crisis. They said, why do we need to sit here and die? They made the decision. Let's go to the camp of the Syrians. Two things can happen. They can either help us or kill us. But to sit down here and do nothing till we die, God forbid. Thank God for the initiatives. You know something happened? They got there. They met dead bodies. The angel of the Lord has come and what? You know, done justice. That's God fighting the battle. Now, what baffles me, if you read verse 8, they sat down, they ate and drank until they were full. Now, they began to take the booties. They took silver, they took gold, they took garments. They went first time, they went second time. Now, listen, what does that suggest? Listen to this. You will see that these guys, they had the overview of tomorrow. They didn't just say, let us eat now. Some people live as if to say tomorrow will not come. That's not where they live. They said this abundance. They had, they were satisfied. They had leftovers. They were thinking about tomorrow. They had extra. That's why they went two rounds to store up. They went to save. They were prudent. There was abundance. And for you to see their level of prudency, listen, once they knew that they had enough in store, they said, hey, we cannot keep this good news to ourselves. Let's go and share it with others. They were generous again. Listen to me. There's no how you can survive and succeed in a time of famine if you are the kind of person that has no control over your resources. You know, the reason Joseph succeeded in helping Egypt to navigate through the crisis was because he was a prudent manager. Listen, he started the training where? In the house of Potiphar. When they sent him to prison, he rose there again as what? An efficient manager of resources. So it was no surprise when he got to the palace and he gave Pharaoh, Genesis 41, you can read from verse 24 down to 53, when he gave him the breakdown of the vision he saw and he gave him the solution, you will see his level of prudency. He was not a frivolous person. Joseph was not a waster. Many of us know the story of the virgins. Matthew 25. five foolish, five wise. The guys who were wise, Matthew 25 verse 3, they were the ones who had what? Extra. They knew about prudency. They knew how to manage what they have. They were thinking about tomorrow. They were not just thinking about now. Many of us know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is a good example of a waster. Huge inheritance blown away within a matter of days. Luke 15, you read the story from verse 11. What is very pathetic was that he took the whole inheritance. He went to a far country where nobody could find him. And the scripture says he wasted his substance with riotous living. He lived anyhow. What is very shocking is when you get to verse 14. The Bible says in Luke 15 verse 14, scripture says, and when he had spent all. How can you spend all of that inheritance like that? Listen, he did not invest. He did not save. He did not help anybody. The Bible makes you understand that, and there arose a great famine. The Bible says, and he began to be in lack. Why won't he be in lack? Because he was a waster. I know what I'm saying may look so hard, but that's the reality. If you want to survive and succeed in this time, you must be an efficient, a prudent manager of resources. Listen to me. I discovered something about God. He who is faithful with little shall be faithful. If you cannot manage little, God will not give you much. At times, some prayers that some people have been praying for breakthroughs, the reason it is distant is because they are not prudent. One of the skills you must acquire, not just for this season, but as part and parcel of life, is to be a prudent manager of resources. That is how to rise through this season. Listen, I saw a great man of God that I revere, and he was telling me about the story of their ministry. He said from day one, they have been saving 20% of whatever, you know, God brought. From day one, that they did not touch. Listen, that's why they were able to achieve a lot of things. Listen to me and listen good. Nothing just happens. If you want to succeed and prosper in this season, you must develop the skills of prudence. As I close tonight, when you look at the crisis that happened in the land of Israel during the time of Elijah, I see prudency at work. Why did God tell Elijah, when you get to the book of Charing, the ravens will only bring food? How many times? Two times. Morning, evening. Morning, evening. Morning, evening. Listen. Our God has got a prudency. If Jesus told those guys after the miracle of the five loaves and two fishes, John 6 verse 12, he said, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be what may perish. Why was Jesus interested in leftovers? He was trying to teach the disciples about the principles of being prudent. If you want to have increase, if you want to have more, if you want to prosper, you must cultivate the spirit of prudence. It is key to your rising in this season. It is something that will serve you even in time, in your later life, in the name of Jesus. Little can become much when you manage it very well. I pray for you tonight. I pray for you tonight that the ability, the help of God to cultivate the skill of prudency in the management of your resources, receive in the name of Jesus. Before I leave, still in the story of Elijah, do you know that when the brook dried up, God told him, go to where? Zarephath. Watch this. The miracle that God did in Zarephath was the miracle of what? It says the barrel of meal did not waste. Notice that word, waste. Waste. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. Why didn't he fail? Why didn't he waste? Because you see, there was a judicious use of resource. I pray for you tonight. I prophesy to you tonight, in the name that is above every day, the ability and the grace to be prudent with regards to the management of the resource, receive in the name of Jesus. This is where I would draw the curtains because of my time tonight. I'll pick it up on Sunday. Can you lift up your hands wherever you're watching with me and begin to say after me, my faith will be active. My faith will be alive. I will put my faith to work because my faith is my instrument of dominion. Oh Lord, I will be prudent with the management of resources because that is key and essential. Help me not to be a waster. Help me not to be a spendthrift. Help me to be a blesser. Help me to be a helper. Go ahead and pray tonight. Go ahead and pray tonight. Li karoza bayakata. Lunse branange prodisisisip. Angre de sure de bakatore basusa. Yempari kerosa bayanke sora. Linke roseba yaka prodeke soreketa. Limpro makaso braninge produce pradike. Hupra da bakaro sakata. So shall it be. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray tonight for all of those who are listening to me tonight. I ask, oh God, that these words that I've shared today will bring about, will provoke the faith of your people. Thank you, Father, because of your recovery plan. Thank you, Father, because of your great plan. You have a great plan in place to bring your people out into the place of lifting. I declare the name of Jesus, their foot will not be taken in this season. I see you rise through the storm. I see you prevail in this season. In the name of Jesus, your faith is making way for you. Lift up your hands and begin to bless him tonight. Lift up your hands and begin to honor him today. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the adoration. We thank you, Father God. We honor, we magnify your name. We glorify your name. We bless you, Father. You are a faithful Father. You are faithful to us. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to go forth and begin to act in faith upon the word you have received. There will be a manifestation, there will be a performance, and you will not be put to shame. I want to thank you for joining us for this online experience this evening. I want to trust that you are blessed. If the message has blessed you, I want to encourage you. You can reshare it or post it on your page. Be of help to someone. We really are trusting God and keep praying. Like I told people, keep praying for our nation, keep praying for the world. The path of recovery and healing is taking place, and we know that soon we're going to have a liberty and a victory and a joy before we rather, in the mighty name of Jesus. So please, let's keep observing all the basic principles of hygiene like we have been told. That is crucial. It will help us to walk in the realm of victory. We'll trust God ultimately to bring us out. Look forward to seeing us again on Sunday by his grace. But before we leave, we'd like to just, for those who like to give, all our handles are available, the platform. I want to pray tonight for all Titus.